morning, 5 minutes after the hour. It is show number 4369 of the morning show with Preston Scott, Wednesday, November 25th. Great to be with you. I'm Preston over there in Studio 1A. I'm not talking about it. It's Dallas Rogers and a producer to be named later. I'm here in Studio 1B. Great to be with you this morning. We will unpack that which I will not discuss when I choose to discuss it. And not a moment before, I have a show to do, and I have to be brave. Our verse of the day, Matthew 25, verses 18, 25, and 26. It's a little skip around here. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. Master, see, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant." Well, now, that was quite the rebuke. That was a story where Jesus is telling, and you know what's so interesting, is Jesus spent so much time, and I'm going to paraphrase a bunch of parables, saying to the guys who he has been teaching one-on-one for years, in essence, guys, really? Come on. Don't you? Come on. Get with it. And the illustration here is couple fold. Number one, you can be right next to Jesus and far from Christ. These guys hung out with him, but they didn't get it. They weren't computing. So Jesus is saying to them, in using this story, look, here's a guy that's been given some money. And he didn't do anything with it. He buried it. He just buried it. And so when the guy who gave him the money came saying, "Okay, what'd you do with the money I gave you to invest?"
"Look at me. I didn't lose any of it. Here it is."
He's like, "What'd you do that for? I gave you that money to invest."
"Well, but I didn't lose any."
"But you didn't gain, you didn't do anything with it. Come on now." Let's broaden that a little bit. I believe that every single person has been given gifts and talents, skill sets. And thankfully, we're all different. Now, I think it's very debatable whether I have any skill whatsoever as a radio show host. But the fact is, I do have the job. And imagine if everybody had the exact same skill set. Ugh. Seriously, what if everybody could play the guitar?
Wait, I'm still trying to picture a world filled with Prestons.
Oh my gosh, I don't even want to think about that. But imagine if everybody in the room could play a guitar. Everybody.
You mean like living in Nashville?
Like everybody. There would be nothing unique about gathering together and someone pulling out the guitar and all of a sudden a little spontaneous singing takes place.
So it's like living in Nashville.
Something like that.
It's just like living in Nashville.
So imagine, though, if you have a skill that is unique and you bury it. Imagine the things that God has created you and gifted you to do, and you did nothing with it. You buried it. Sadly, that is the story of too many lives today. It doesn't always equate to what you do professionally. It's about finding an outlet for the gifts and the talents that you have, finding a way to use those. Because here's the cool part. Elsewhere, Jesus said, you know, if you're faithful with a few things, God's going to bless you with more. And that's not always related to money in your wallet. Maybe it will be, being faithful with a little bit of money when you are new working and you're faithful about you know, giving that money, tithing that money, and being smart with that money. God, I think, prospers people like that, but it's about so much more than that. So as we look at Thanksgiving tomorrow, step back, be grateful for what you have been given, and don't hide it. 10 minutes after the hour, this date in history and more next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
His opinion. He just happens to be right. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Minutes after the hour, it is the Morning Show. Good morning. Good to be with you this morning. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Captain Stephen Wilder, Salvation Army, joins me next hour. Got a few minutes of my recorded interview with FSU head football coach Mike Norvell. Oh, has that narrative changed a bit? According to email, the president of Clemson University concurred with the decision to postpone the game. Now, we don't know that for certain. It's in an email where FSU president John Thrasher said, and the president of Clemson concurred with the decision. Basically, both schools followed the ACC protocols, but they followed them through their own lens. That's what was expected. It was inevitable that this kind of thing was going to happen. The difference is Dabo Swinney's been a jerk. And that's just the truth. He has. So that narrative's a little bit different. We'll get Coach Norvell's take on what he expects to maybe happen moving forward. Third hour of the show, what's the blessing? Chance for you to share what it is that you are grateful for, thankful for. And we'll talk to Barry Jessen in Cambodia. He will be joining us from Cambodia live.
Really? He'll he's going to be?
Yep, he's
he
there.
At the village?
Not necessarily the village. He is in country.
He's in Cambodia.
Directing all projects for Samaritan's Purse in country. And so he'll get to talk about that as well as, you know, what, you know, just kind of how this all works. And so I can't wait. When they told me he was going to be calling us from Cambodia, it's going to be awesome. I'm guessing it's 10, 12 hours ahead of us. I'm guessing that's about right. They will be, he'll be in the evening in Cambodia, no doubt about it, when we're talking to him. But this date in history, it is November the 25th. During the French and Indian War, British troops defeat the French at Fort Duquesne, what is now Pittsburgh. That's in 1758. 1783, British withdraw from New York City, their last military stronghold in the United States during the Revolutionary War. 1920 in Philadelphia, Gimbel's Department Stores begins what is now the nation's oldest annual Thanksgiving Day parade. I am heartbroken by the fact that there will not be a Thanksgiving Day parade on television tomorrow, even if they've ruined it. Yeah. By doing nonstop Broadway performances instead of showing the floats.
I haven't watched it in about 3 or 4 years. I've tried every year, but every year it becomes this celebrity flail-a-thon where they just get on and just pat each other on the back and hug and talk about it. And then in between the platitudes from the celebrities, you've got poor performances that are poorly put together of something that should be staged differently.
All I can tell you is the only person in recent years that I remember singing live was Kelly Clarkson, and she killed it.
And she crushed it because she's Kelly Clarkson.
And right? She insisted on singing live.
My favorite is when they had Ricky Martin on one of those floats, and he forgot the words. I think he was singing a different song than he thought they were playing. And so his words that he was mouthing were completely off.
I enjoyed it when Mariah Carey messed up. Yeah, 1963, JFK laid to rest at Arlington on this date. And so you have it. When we come back, I'm gonna talk about this a couple times in the show today. Use
Thanksgiving to teach your family, however many you choose to gather around, about the lesson of the pilgrims. The words of William Bradford tell us much. That's next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
WFLA at WFLAFM.com. On your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos. And iHeart's radio station.
Twenty-one minutes after the hour, the morning show with Preston Scott. Good morning, everybody. On the blog page, I have all kinds of things about Thanksgiving. I've got recipes. I've got a little piece I wrote a few years ago that I came across that I've put back up. I've got a couple things from PragerU about the history of Thanksgiving, which I'm going to get to here in a second. But I also have posted just now a 3.5 minute attempt by James O'Keefe at Project Veritas to get a professor, an associate professor of political science at Pitt, University of Pittsburgh, Dr. Stephen Robar. Robar writes on a paper written by a student citing voter fraud, irregularities through Project Veritas reporting, which we've talked about, where they catch people openly admitting to things. This professor writes that's a bunch of crap. So James O'Keefe decides to visit him on a phone call. And it's a video call. And O'Keefe very calmly just circles around time and again saying, well, you called our work crap. Could you give me an example? He refuses. He refuses. It is such a wonderful trapping of an elitist with their attitudes. Well, if you don't have time, how about today? We talk about it today. Nah, I have other commitments today, because he said, I'd love to discuss this in depth. Well, how about tomorrow? No, can't do it tomorrow. Well, then how about you let me know? And I mean, it's beautiful. It's 3.5 minutes, but it just crystallizes the point. And so I have taken it upon myself to write Professor Robar and invite him on the show.
Now, wait, this is a guy who is a professor at Pitt?
Pitt.
Well, you know, I actually graduated from WVU, and we know something about Pitt that no one else in the country really understands truly. And that is that Pitt is a four-letter word.
Yeah. Well, I told him, I said, look, because he dismissed Project Veritas because of where they get their money. And O'Keefe said, well, I get my money from 20,000 people that support what we do. You get your money from the RNC and conservative forces. And O'Keefe is like, well, okay, if you say so, but what's the point? Give me an example of reporting we've done that's crap. And he can't.
Of course not.
And that was my point in my note to Professor Robar. If you're going to grade a student's assignment and call him out for citing somebody that you think is discredited, surely you have examples. But surely you can't name one.
Right. Surely you can back up the discreditation.
You can't.
Right.
And so I said, if you'd like to take a shot at it on my program, I'd love to have you. I said, I'm not a Republican. I'm a supporter of what James O'Keefe does, but I'm not a Republican. I'm NPA. Anyway, so I'd tell you that. It's on the blog page. You can get that. Now, you gathered everybody together. Let me read. These are the words of Governor William Bradford. Now, you do know that the Mayflower was not made up of entirely a bunch of pilgrims. Out of the 100-plus people that were on the Mayflower, 40 were pilgrims. 40. Less than half of the people on that boat were pilgrims. Why were they pilgrims? Well, they had left England, and they had left because of persecution, because they wanted to worship God their way, not the way the King of England, I think it was, what, James? King Jim?
I think, not to be confused with Slim Jim, and that's his cousin.
Yeah,
that's his son when he was a little guy. Anyway, so it's important to note that they came to the country for freedom of worship, and when they first arrived, they tried communal living. They were, and what is communal living? Communism. Communism is out of communal. That's where the word originates. Communal living, and they talked about it. Here's William Bradford. The strong, or man of parts, had no more in division of victuals and clothes than he that was weak and not able to do a quarter the other could. This was thought injustice. Meaning, they decided that everybody was going to work and they were going to pool all of what they yielded. It was going to be communal living. As I will share later in the program, it didn't work and they started to starve and die. He writes about that too. The lesson of Thanksgiving is the lesson of capitalism. 27 minutes after the hour.
Covered traffic and weather every 10 minutes. It's the morning show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
I think I'm always going to laugh every time I hear that and I do that stupid voice. And one day Dallas says, you do know that's it's an Irish song, right?
It just sounds like a song that people that made moonshine and whiskey would do.
Well, they do make whiskey a lot.
It just sounds like a moonshine song to me.
Yeah, they don't think they call it moonshine over there.
Probably not. But then again, I wouldn't know. What do I know about any of that stuff? All right, 37 minutes after the hour of the morning show. Big story in the press box. I was curious to see what the reaction would be by the national talk show host to James Mattis. Mad Dog Jim. You know, there was a minute that I really thought he was cool. It lasted a minute. Something to the effect of when he told the Iraqis, words to the effect that we're going to trust you, and if you double-cross us, your ancestors are going to talk. Your descendants are going to talk about what happens to you. I was like, okay.
Uh-huh.
That's my man.
All right, then.
Mad Dog. But the Zen general decided that Donald Trump's policies of America First were reckless and dangerous. So he's penned an op-ed in Foreign Affairs where he's calling for an end to the America First policies, which, of course, you know Joe Biden's going to engage in if he gets sworn in as president. Mattis believes that the America First mentality has hindered investment necessary to create international networks. But I want you to think back to what Trump has done. Pulled way back on NATO, demanding, I mean, how dare we demand that NATO member nations pay some money to be in NATO? That they foot some of the bill for the troops, for the defense. Pulling funding from the World Health Organization. Withdrawing from the Asia-Pacific Trade Pact. Now, let's back up for just one second and think about this. What is the single biggest primary responsibility of the United States government? To provide for the defense of its citizens. That's job one. Job one is the defense of the nation. I'm sorry, that's called America First. You circle this country, then you go out beyond that. The president has also confronted China for unfair practices. I don't know. I think our economy's handling that pretty well.
I would agree.
So China came up with their own internal trade. That's fine. They can make all the deals they want. If they try to replace the United States
and the consumer-driven economy that we have, they will lose. Remember, always remember, China cannot consume what it produces. The people, because of communism, are too poor. 80% of what this country produces, it buys. It's not the same. And so we're going to move in a direction that's going to, I'll get to more accomplishments this president has had through America First. 40 minutes after the hour, it's the morning show.
Morning show with Preston Scott.
You will not laugh. You will not cry. You will learn by the numbers. I will teach you. Now get up. Get on your feet.
On WFLA.
Two minutes after the hour, President of the United States, America First, dealt with Mexico's... When was the last time you saw a caravan coming to the United States? And let me just ask the question, since we can't think of when. Is that just because of the president's policies, or is it also because the left found the strategy not working and they moved on to other things?
That...
I think that's part of it, because we don't have the wall completely up.
No.
I think that's part of it. But he has changed the dynamic there. He has suggested America will not be the world's police force or the world's piggy bank anymore. How is that bad? Because global elitists like James Mattis think that's what we ought to be. We ought to be giving our wealth away collectively as a nation to lift up. And you think that's going to work? James Mattis, do you really think that's going to change the economic outcome for third world countries, that we give them money? Have you not seen the social experiments that happen over and over again, where you take someone that's well off, that's an entrepreneur, and you, in essence, you strip everything away from them, and you give that same person $1,000, and you give the poor person $1,000, the one that's just sitting, not because of bad fortune, but because of laziness. You give them each money, and you come back and check on them in a while. Who's going to do well?
My buddy was an economist, and he said, you know, if you took all the money in the world away from everybody today and then gave everybody the same amount in 20 years, the people that have money today would have it again, and the people that don't wouldn't.
Agreed.
Because that is how it works. That's basic economics 101.
And that's what they learned in the 1600s in the first colony with William Bradford and the Pilgrims.
The hard way.
Boy, was it ever.
You want to talk about a heavy lesson?
Woo! Then there's this, and this is, consider this a pre-Thanksgiving, I got to get this said. Reverend Raphael Warnock in 2017 preached at his church, Ebenezer Baptist Church, that America's pre-existing condition is racism. Let me read the quote. We are in a special moment. We are in an evil moment. We are in a tragic moment. And I suggest to you that our politics is symptomatic of our sickness. We've got a lot of problems, but I would not be a prophet. Really? You're a prophet. If I did not tell you that racism is America's pre-existing condition. Now, let me pause by saying that when I was a pastor of a church, we did not have any profits because we were a nonprofit ministry. But that's, Anyway, I want to stop this narrative dead in its tracks because I'm sick of it. I am sick of it. Here's a fact that Reverend Warnock and any other apologist out there to that mindset needs to keep in mind. Were it not for white people fighting in the Civil War to help free slave blacks and end the
the racism of this country, which is a sin, no doubt. If white people hadn't taken up arms and died by the hundreds of thousands, it never would have ended. It never would have changed. So this idea of a systemic racist, it's white people that changed the narrative, sir. And that's a fact, and it's uncomfortable, but I'm sick of this. I'm done with this narrative.
46 minutes after the hour, it's the morning show with Preston Scott.
Someone has to say it. The morning show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Wednesday on the morning show, November 25th. Good to have you with us this morning on the radio program. And it's just 7 days away. 7 days away. We are 1 week from the national release of the McRib at McDonald's restaurants nationwide. McRib Watch 2020.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Tonight I start the program, just the thing I gotta do. I'm quitting cold turkey. I'm getting over you. Yeah, I'm checking in for treatment at my favorite rehab home.
Love this.
Where the doctors clean the glasses and the nurses keep them full. Some prescriptions come in bottles, others in a shot. I suppose it's all medicinal, so give me anything you got. Yeah, I tried to do it your way, and that's got me where I am. So call me Tony Robbins, I've come up with my own plan. And it's 4 steps to the jukebox, 9 steps to the door, about 7 to the bathroom, and 2 stepping on the floor. Yeah, I've got an open tab, and by the time this night is through, I'll be 12 steps from getting over you.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And that is Dallas Rogers, ladies and gentlemen, right there. And I asked Dallas to send me some of his tunes, and he did. He obliged me here. Today is Dallas's last day on the program. And I shared that because I've tried to explain to people, Dallas, that when they say, boy, where'd you find him? That's not exactly how this all happened. Dallas came to iHeart at the worst possible time and came here for a totally different set of reasons.
Yeah,
he came to run our country station, and it just everything blew up at iHeart, and then the pandemic, and he just was kind enough to help us because David Allen ended up no longer with iHeart, and all of a sudden I'm just like praying hard, okay, what's gonna happen here? And Dallas had been working, and we knew it wasn't gonna last forever, and so it just, again, a snapshot of what's, this is your final day.
Yeah.
And what you're gonna do.
Yeah. See, when I get out of here, man, I travel the entire month of December. All December, I'm going to be out of town. I'll be here like 6 days. Otherwise, I'd still be here.
And it has nothing to do with singing.
Nope. We've started a new company. So, Greens Reserve.
Spell that.
G-R-E-E-N-E, Greens, apostrophe S, Reserve.
And it is an alternative form of...
It's hemp snuff. It's a tobacco-free snuff. Yeah. But that, you know, like that, one of the things I'm doing for the month and for 2 weeks in December is I'm going up to get it textured and flavored correctly.
Okay.
So basically, I get the chance because I dip. So I get the chance now to create the snuff that I have always wished would exist.
That didn't have the side effects and
no
challenges.
Cancer, you don't have to worry about cancer. As a matter of fact, we've got a group, we have a lab that is in starting tests now to find out if the CBD content in what we do, even though it's minuscule, can
has some benefit on the side.
Medical benefits toward that.
So it would be the benefit would be not just getting off of tobacco-based snuff, but that maybe. And oh, by the way, you'll feel sportier.
Yeah,
your joints won't. Your joints won't be as squeaky.
Yeah, you sleep better.
So today's Dallas's last day, and I know people are going to want to write. So would you give me your email address real quick? Nah, never mind. We'll do it next hour.
Okay.
Here we go. Hour number two, the morning show with Preston Scott. Good morning. Wednesday, November 25th. Show number 4369. Great to be with you, Dallas Rogers. For 1 hour and 55 minutes more in Studio 1A.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you got to say, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
I know. Producer to be named later will be, is in there as well. He'll be taking over on December the 1st. And joining me in Studio 1B is Captain Stephen Wildish with the Salvation Army. Captain, good to see you again. How are you?
Good morning. Well, thank you for having me as well.
Absolutely. Today's a big day for you guys locally.
It is.
The Thanksgiving meal.
Absolutely. So today at the Salvation Army at 2410 Allen Road is the community Thanksgiving meal that we are having from 11 to 2 today.
Okay.
Anyone and everyone is welcome. And we're having it there. We've been cooking for the last 2 to 3 days. And so we are ready. We have a bunch of volunteers coming to serve you. So please come down and get a hot meal.
Annually, about how many people do you serve on this meal?
Annually, probably close to 1,000 people. This year, it's going to be scaled back a little bit.
Because of the pandemic.
Because of the pandemic. We're projected to serve about five to 600 this year. And if anybody has any worries, we have socially distanced all the tables.
Yep.
And things like that. Everything is disposable. It's really easy. You come in, you enjoy your food and some fellowship, and then you can leave.
And that allows you to keep people moving through and having the meal.
Absolutely.
Do you still need any help?
I mean, people can still come down to 2410 Allen Road and speak to the person who's overseeing it, Julie.
Okay.
And she will put you to work.
Awesome. Now, the real reason why you're here is I said something when he walked in. I said, you're going to do something pretty stupid next week, aren't you? But it's for a great cause. So, you know, Abby Walton, who's on your board with WCTV, sent me a note and talking about the Day of Giving. And so first, let's set the stage for why you feel like this particular Day of Giving, December 1st, is so important.
Sure. So every year, the Salvation Army, everybody walks past the Red Kettle in November and December. That's just our history. That's what the tradition is. Well, with the pandemic, the need is always there. It will not go away because there's a pandemic. Our goal for this year to raise kettles here in Tallahassee is $215,000 by Christmas Eve.
Okay.
And we feel that there's a lot of foot traffic less going into the stores. People are shopping online because they don't want to go out in public, which is completely understandable. So I want to do something crazy, stupid, to bring awareness of the Salvation Army Red Kettle. But also to raise additional funds so we can reach our $215,000 goal.
Because, I mean, reality and I guess common sense says that there may be people that are hesitant to give because they don't want to get too close to somebody or they're concerned about, you know, interaction. And so you're a little worried, and I would guess it's nationwide, that the Red Kettle campaign is going to fall short because of COVID concerns.
Right. It is nationwide. It's just not here in Tallahassee.
Sure.
It's, you know, from sea to shining sea. All the Salvation Army is worried about that. And we're all trying to come out with, think outside of the box to come up with creative ways. This is certainly creative here.
We're going to tell you exactly what Captain Wildish is going to do next Tuesday. Now, it should be pointed out that we will be off the air on Monday, and we will be back on Tuesday. So you can count on us circling back on this.
But Captain Stephen Wildish is with us from the Salvation Army for another segment. We're going to talk about the Day of Giving and how you can help jumpstart the annual campaign to put money in the coffers of Salvation Army, because they do so much good in our area. And you know I'm a big supporter of what they do. So we'll talk more in just a moment here on The Morning Show.
Show with Preston Scott.
It's a fool looks for logic in the chambers of the human heart.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
One week from yesterday, December 1st, starting at 6 a.m., Captain Stephen Wildish of the Salvation Army is going to do something to bring attention to the Red Kettle campaign being underway. But even more important than that, to try to raise $24,000 in 24 hours.
That's right.
So there's your goal. You're going to start at 6 a.m. And by the way, he's going to call every hour from where he's going to be. And here we go. Where will you be?
So on December 1st, Tuesday, which is Giving Tuesday, at the corner of Thomasville Road and Village Square, right next to those Tesla chargers, if anybody knows where that's at.
I know
at,
exactly where that is.
There is going to be a 40-foot scissor lift that's going to be there, and I'm going to be 40 feet up in the air for 24 hours to raise $24,000 in the 24-hour mark. And I'm starting at 6 a.m. in the morning, and I'm going to go to 6 a.m. December 2nd or until we reach the 24,000 goal. And so, hey, if we reach that at 10 o'clock at night, well, then I get to go
You'll
home
be thrilled
early.
And you can sleep in your own bed.
That's right.
Have you ever done this before on a scissor lift?
So I've never done this before on a scissor lift, but every year I typically ring bells for 24 mm-hmm. hours mm-hmm. at a Walmart. But Walmart's not open 24 hours, you know, during this right. pandemic. So I wanted to do something 24 hours, and this is it.
I've done this twice in my career, and I can tell you one thing that you're going to run into that you got to plan for are bathroom breaks.
Yes.
Right now it's a joke, but when you're up there 40 feet in the air and you got to try to figure that out, especially when it's time, you know, 40 feet in the air on a scissor, because those things are not quick.
So no, they're not. They're very deliberate by nature.
Mean. You start going down, you're like, oh man, I gotta go, and you're like,
so is it a portalet? Is that the contingency plan nearby? Or
yes,
you're in full view of the public.
So I will be coming down periodically, you know, for when nature calls.
Okay. And you say you're going to have a chair up there. It's a big lift. I mean, the platform is similar to the platforms they use for cameras when they're doing baseball or football or whatever. They put a right. scissor lift out there.
Yes.
So it's a decent-sized platform, but you're going to do this for 24 hours.
That's right. I'm going to do it for 24 hours. Wow. And it's to bring awareness for the Red Kettle campaign here in Tallahassee and for us to reach our $215,000 goal. As you know, the need is still there, and this is, you know, we're trying to raise the funds so we can support people who come to the Salvation Army who are in financial crisis.
How does someone give to this particular effort? Is there a special giving website link, whatever, that people can navigate to help get you off that lift?
Yes. So there at the lift, there will be a kettle there.
Sure.
So people can just drive by, drop a kettle. But also on the lift, there's going to be this huge banner with a QR code. I mean, you can see this QR code from across the street.
Okay.
You can scan it with your phone. If you have an iPhone, you can scan it there, and it will take you directly to our site. And the site is called Reaching New Heights to Rescue Christmas.
Okay.
And so that,
is that a .com?
It is... No, it's just a QR code. Yeah.
Okay, but if someone doesn't get a chance to drive by there, is there a way for them to navigate to the site in order to give if they want to? Can they just go to the Salvation Army site locally and give there, or how does it get credited to the effort?
So yes, yeah, so they can go to give.salvationarmyflorida.org.
Okay.
And they can go there and they can give.
Awesome. Well, thank you for what you're doing. More importantly than the craziness
is thanks for what you and your team do to help people in our community.
Well, absolutely. Well, I can't do it without my team either. And so we got some crazy people in the office that came up with this idea.
Oh, so you can thank them.
So I can thank them. So it's so it's been a community effort for this.
You're an
I thought
Iron
they
Man,
liked
dude.
You.
You're an Iron Man, dude. That it's not easy. So you it's an Iron you're an Iron Man. That's awesome.
All right, when we come back, we'll catch up with FSU head football coach Mike Norvell. He and I spoke yesterday. I'll share that with you. We've got Bill Folder's segment with Bill Zimpfer and more still to come, including our third hour with What's the Blessing? You get a chance to call in and share the things you're grateful for here on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
WFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
And free.
An iHeart's radio station.
Joining me, FSU head football coach Mike Norvell. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Let's put this Clemson thing mercifully in the rearview mirror by me simply asking this. Is the decision on whether this game is played at all or, you know, December 12th and where, is that the ACC's decision to make?
That's a good question. I really have no control over that, so I haven't dug a whole lot into who will make that final decision. I know that we would be excited about the opportunity to play here in Tallahassee, but you know, we'll see how all that progresses. We're excited about you being at home and playing Virginia here this week, and look forward to seeing everybody out there at Doak you know, their Saturday night.
Well, let me just say on behalf of the fans and those of us that have watched and do cover things like this for a living, thanks for taking the high road. You've handled this really well.
Well, you know, obviously, you know, it's unfortunate that we didn't get the opportunity to compete there on Saturday. But, you know, we're appreciative for our medical personnel and advisors, and, you know, we absolutely support support them in the decision with our player safety and well-being as at the forefront of what we're doing. So you know, just looking forward to getting back out there and being able to compete there this Saturday.
Let's talk about the health of your team. Just snapshot, how healthy are the Noles?
You know, we're getting better. It is, you know, there's still, you know, just like any time towards the end of the season, you get some bumps and bruises. You know, guys are working away, you know, getting treatment and, you know, continuing to invest in their bodies. And, you know, just, you know, like I said, we're excited about the growth that's here in front of us.
As you're building culture at Florida State, when you talk about JUCO transfers and guys coming in through the portal, do those players spend time around your existing players that you kind of use as ambassadors, if you will, or is that decision solely made with the coaches?
On a normal year where you're able to have official visits and get guys around the program, you get to identify with all of them, whether it's you know, high school seniors to transfers. I mean, you get a better sense of who these guys are, you know, in an atmosphere with our players, and you know, they definitely provide great feedback.
Coach, final moments here. Jordan Travis, is he going to be under center against the Cavaliers?
Yeah, absolutely. We're excited about you know Jordan, and you know he had a really good week this last week, and you know, we're excited about you know, the opportunity that's in front of him here this week.
Keys offensively for the game.
You know, we have to continue to you know, have a major focus on owning the football, and that's something that our guys understand the importance of it. You know, it's something that has to show up, and we've got to be consistent with. You know, and that's in all three phases. Is you know, offensively, special teams. You know, last week you know, we had a missed opportunity on a punt return where we turned the ball over and gave them a short field. We had a turnover right before 2 minutes that ended the drive, and you know, those are times that we've got to do a better job of maximizing the possessions that we have. And you know, if we could do that, make sure that we're playing at a high level on our third and fourth down opportunities. And then, you know, the explosive play is always something that's critical, and so that needs to show up when we get our opportunities there Saturday night.
Coach, defensive keys, what's going to be the key on the other side of the ball?
We we need to create takeaways, and that's something that has been a big point of emphasis. Defensively, we've got to make sure that we have all 11 hats pursuing the ball. We need to be able to force the ball out and then be in position to recover when we get those chances. If we can disrupt the quarterback, get some pressure on them, force some early throws, hopefully create a takeaway two, or two in the air. And then, once again, the same kind of same story, those third down situations, we've got to get off the field. And, if we can do that at a high level, you obviously be able to execute that, that's going to be a big factor for us to be able to achieve success.
Coach, thanks so very much for the time today. Go get them.
Thanks, sir. Have a great day.
FSU head football coach Mike Norvell spent some time with me yesterday on the phone after practice. And so I was pleased to get that time with him. Man, I just felt bad having to ask him about Clemson anymore. Really. It's just been getting inundated. And there are guys that actually think Dabo Swinney's handled this well. He hasn't. He's handled it very poorly. Anyway, I thought Coach did a great job taking the high road. All right, Bill Zimfer on deck with a Bill Folder on the morning show with Preston Scott.
Tall, the morning show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Coming up to 35 minutes after the hour, and boy, we need it now more than ever. It is Thanksgiving week, the day before, and we are joined by national correspondent Bill Zimfer. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Preston.
Bill, take us deep dive inside the Bill Folder.
Well, Preston, this is we're heading into this holiday season now officially, and there was an important declaration made this week that probably would have a pretty good ripple effect across the country. I'm pleased to report this morning, Preston, that yours truly has been declared president-elect of Thanksgiving. Now this was contained in a crayon memo from my 5-year-old grandson, but it counts. So I'm here this morning, bestowed with this great honor to make my first official act here. My first official act will be to issue a series of executive Thanksgiving orders to help us through the holiday. First, I hereby declare on the Preston Scott Show this morning that in order to conserve precious stomach capacity at the Thanksgiving table, everything green is now banned.
Yes. Yep.
And there
yes.
will be penalties put into effect, harsh penalties, for any table that features that jelly-like cranberry sauce. I mean, we're talking about jail time here if you
good.
Do that.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the basics of turkey and stuffing are the recommendations.
Okay. Fair enough.
Second, I hereby declare that there will be no limit on dessert consumption. Scientific research and physics professors have proven that 4 properly cut pieces of pie will perfectly fit on a dessert plate. So we also recommend a combination of pie varieties. And third, Preston, keeping in mind that we all must be safe over the holidays, and whereas the CDC has recommended no loud talking, shouting, or cheering during a Thanksgiving gathering, I hereby declare that all Thanksgiving gatherings include as many Detroit Lions fans as possible, since they will not be doing any cheering at all. And to reduce the possibility of transmission of the virus, a safe option would be to invite Philadelphia Eagles receivers to your gathering, since they don't catch anything. Thank you. Thank you very much. End of executive orders.
How'd you receive the news when you were so ordained?
By a crayon memo.
Yeah. I mean, how'd that go over with you?
Oh, hey, I am.
You're embracing it.
Thrilled. Yeah. I was just thrilled. Yes, it's about time I got a little power.
So take us inside the Zimfer home. What's the, what will be, I mean, I understand the executive orders have been issued now, but for example, does that mean green bean casserole cannot be had?
That's correct. That's correct. It's out. I stay with the basics. I stay with turkey, I stay with stuffing, and then I go right to dessert.
Mashed potatoes and gravy?
Well, I go with potato stuffing instead of the mashed potatoes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is, there's also a ban at, in my household on Aunt Helen's cracker-based stuffing, which you need an oxyacetylene torch to cut, and it's like a brick in your stomach. Hey. That has been banned.
Hey, you leave Aunt Helen out of this.
And what's the preferred turkey cooking method at the Zimfer home?
Well, we do a little brine. In fact, it's brining now, and then it's just
Or wet brine?
Wet.
Okay.
And then it is an oven baked turkey. We put it in the oven, but I have to say that we're a little bit wary since last year a fire erupted in the oven at one point. So it turned out to be kind of a flame roasted turkey last year.
You went from Zimfer to Burger King pretty quick.
Yeah, actually, you went to Boston Market at that point.
Yeah. It's a broiled turkey. Open flame.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. And do you wait the required 15 to 20 minutes before cutting the turkey?
I don't know. It depends how many cocktails I've had.
My contribution to your Thanksgiving meal is wait 15 to 20 minutes before cutting it.
All right.
You will have the juiciest, best turkey if you traditionally. See, I grew up with a mom that cut it right out of the oven, and it was the worst. I love my mom, but it was the worst ever. Dried like crazy. When I learned the art of waiting 15 to 20 minutes, that's when perfection hit.
I will do that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bill, have a great Thanksgiving with your family. We'll talk again next Tuesday.
Bye, Bill.
Will do. See you guys. Hey, always a pleasure to talk to you. Have a great holiday.
And by the way, you do know this is Dallas's last day.
Yeah, we just exchanged
numbers. I do know that. I'm going to be harassing him by text very soon.
All right. Thank you, Bill. All right. Bill Zimfer with us this morning on the Bill Folder on the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
I am fair. I am good. I'm a happy example.
Glenn is on 9 to noon.
I am stronger every day
on WFLA.
I am obligated by the rules of music to wait before talking.
I'm not. Blah, 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 blah.
What does he care? I'm surprised we're still on the air, to be honest with you.
What are you going
to
do? Fire me?
Oh, Dallas Rogers' last day as producer of the morning show with Preston Scott. Producer to be named later, taking over on Tuesday next week. I could talk about Mad Dog Jim Mattis. I don't want to do it anymore.
Nope.
I could talk about CNN's silence. They spent over, in 2 days of broadcast, 23 minutes and 38 seconds on a nurse in South Dakota named Jody Doring, claiming that her patients are dying of COVID and they are in denial until the very last breath. Now, let's set aside the fact that there is no confirmation of any of this, that no other nurses at no other hospitals in no other place in South Dakota are having the same incidents. But CNN, when challenged on it, just goes silent. They can't help but to feed this false narrative. It is being slammed all over. I could talk about that. I don't want to talk about that either. Instead, courtesy of the Babylon Bee.
Oh, good.
Garner, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Butterball is releasing a new turkey with the Biden-Harris logo seared right into its delicious skin, so you can just claim your Thanksgiving gathering is a political rally bypassing local restrictions against celebrating the holiday.
Oh, that's perfect.
Said a Butterball spokesman, just serve the Biden-Harris turkey. You'll be free to gather. It's the same delicious Butterball taste you know and love, now completely safe and legal for gathering to celebrate. Turkeys also come in Black Lives Matter, President Trump resign, Russiagate varieties, all of which qualify your Thanksgiving dinner as a political rally and allow you to gather with as many people as you want for as long as you want. Butterball is also releasing a line of Molotov cocktails to use as a garnish so that when your governor's goon squad kicks the door down, they'll be forced to apologize as they realize you're just having a peaceful protest. The turkey's also said to ward off COVID since the virus does not affect people at liberal rallies. Isn't that breathtakingly good?
I didn't know, you know, mentioning Molotov cocktails. I met a guy in Tennessee that was trying to open a whiskey company up there, and he was trying to name it Molotov. And he wanted to create a cocktail, and he got blocked.
Because even though it was missing 1-0.
Yeah. Regardless, he got blocked. He was not allowed to name his whiskey.
Too close.
Yeah, evidently. And it had something to do around the same law that has to do with screaming fire in a crowded theater. It has to do with that law that you can't name it that.
Probably the same type of guidelines that garner, you know, that oversee specialized license plates.
Yes, well, same idea.
Regardless of what you think it means, if they think it means something else, you're done.
Right.
You're toast.
And that's what happened to him.
Yeah. So he went with Molotov, Moltov, instead of Molotov, and got banned for it because it was too close to Molotov.
Yeah. What he was trying to do was play off the Molotov cocktail.
Sure. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And he was going to make a whole drink.
An explosive drink.
Yes, exactly. It explodes in your belly.
Oh, my.
In your mouth, the flavor explodes.
We come back, a little Thanksgiving history, and we'll set you up for what's the blessing. So here's the prompt. Think about it, and I'd love for you to call in and share on the air the things you're grateful for. And I'll just say this. I know you're grateful for your relationship with Jesus Christ. So am I. I know that. I'd like you to expound on that a little bit and how it shows up in your life, maybe. That's coming up next hour in the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Show with Preston Scott.
You play ball like a girl
on WFLA.
Minutes after the hour on the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Next hour, what's the blessing? Your chance to call in and talk about what you are grateful for. And look, I understand that everything starts from the flow of knowing Christ. And for many, if not nearly all of you, that's where you would begin or should begin. I get that. Here's what I don't want a half hour of just hearing that. I know that sounds really weird, but I want people to hear the stories through which God has worked in your life. And the things that you're grateful for, just family, health, surviving the year. I mean, it's these days are so encouraging. And what it does is it makes that relationship with God so much more relatable. Because we all face challenges. And I think sometimes we give the impression as Christians, that once you become a Christian, whew, everything is a piece of cake, and it's not. It's written about. You're going to have challenges and trials and trouble. If anything, in this day and age, being a Christian puts a bullseye on your back. It's in the midst of all of life as it happens, maintaining your faith that opens the door to these stories and the sharing. And so as a precursor to Thanksgiving, we do What's the Blessing, a chance to share what's on your heart, the things you are grateful for. Around the Thanksgiving table, I beg of you, teach the lesson of William Bradford and the Pilgrims, who tried communism. They tried a communal form of living. He would write, "As for men's wives to be commanded to do service for other men, as dressing their meat, washing their clothes, etc., they deemed it a kind of slavery. Neither could many husbands well brook it. At length, after much debate of things, the governor," he's writing this himself, "gave way that they should set corn every man for his own particular, and that regard trust to themselves, and so assign to every family a parcel of land according to the portion of their number for that end. Thus ended the communal living experience of the Pilgrims, because they were starving, because there were people going, well, why should I work when everybody's going to be working, planting, harvesting, and I'm going to benefit from it? And so that was proved to be unsuccessful. The second they said, here's your land, go work it, everything changed. They began to prosper. That lesson has been lost today. There are people that need help. And that's where I believe our churches should step up. Sadly, too many don't. The faith community's failed. But churches should step up. And if needed, the government can help. But it shouldn't be the rule for people to just rely on the government for their sustenance. Learn from Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a lesson of the Pilgrims, and it's a lesson of failure of communism. It is the communal lifestyle that failed, and it is the capitalist lifestyle of each one having their own and working their own that provided blessing for all. That's the lesson we should be teaching around the dinner table tomorrow as we talk Thanksgiving. And if that fails, then bring a bottle of wine and make sure it's Trump wine. But that's another story for another day. When we come back, it's What's the Blessing? 850-205-9352. 850-205-WFLA. Call now. Get in line. You shouldn't have to think hard about the things you're grateful for. Your calls are next. Five minutes after the hour, hour number three of the morning show with Preston Scott. It is a tradition on this program that the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we do not do a What's the Blessing just for the sake of doing something different. We do a What's the Blessing for the sake of giving you the opportunity to speak words that encourage others. I can't begin to tell you the number of times that I hear from people that get encouragement by you sharing what you're grateful for. It helps people find perspective. It's not just a throwaway segment. This matters. And so if you'd like to call in, we have one line open right now. It's your chance to call in and share what you are grateful for. It is What's the Blessing? It's 850-205-9352. 850-205-WFLA. And waiting patiently has been Will. Will, thanks so much for calling in, and what are you grateful for?
Good morning, Preston. It's an honor to speak with you again on my yearly conversation. You and the audience might know me. I've called the last couple of years. I started 3 years ago, fresh out of my vacation from society, and a lot of things have happened. And oddly enough, even though 2020 has been a crazy one, this happens to be my best year yet, Preston.
Wow.
March 12th, me and my wife welcomed young Felicia Marie into this world, and she's been a blessing into our lives. We became homeowners this past summer, and after almost 3 years with one job, I made a leap about a month and a half ago to come to a brand new job that's been a bigger and better opportunity for me. But I want to give a shout out to my previous coworkers who I know are listening because we're truck drivers, and let them know they've still been a blessing for me as well, because they've helped me through a tough 2020, just spiritually and mentally. you know, being a good friend to me. So that's been my 2020 in a nutshell, Preston, and that's what I'm most grateful for, and I have to give it all to God as well. I have to make sure that's understanding. I know you don't want a 15-minute praise to Jesus, but I got to give his due.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's awesome. What a great call. Will, thank you so much for calling again, and his story is just a great example of God's in the business of restoration, and well done to you, sir. Let's go to Rick. Rick, thanks for calling in. What's the blessing?
Good morning, guys. Thanks so much for all you do. Listen, I've been in business in Tallahassee since 1983, small business, and we've had our ups and downs over the years. And when COVID hit, I thought, you know, this is going to be another big, big downturn. And I couldn't have been further from right. It's just been unbelievable. God has blessed so mightily. You just can't imagine, guys. And I give him all the credit. It's just been awesome. And, you know, I had a guy ask me Monday. So if the Democrats take everything over, so how do you think you're going to survive the next 4 years? And I said, by prayer alone. That's the only thing that'll make it happen.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate the phone call. Good words of advice as well. It opens up a line here, 850-205-9352. We've got room for you, 850-205-WFLA. Let's go to Greg. Hi, Greg.
Well, even though LeBron James versus mediocrity is going to be Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year election, I want to have our Heavenly Father bless NBA Commissioner Adam Silver abundantly for a masterpiece performance in 2020. First of all, he designed the bubble concept that National Hockey League, Major League Baseball, and soon NCAA March Madness are going to follow. He put tourism dollars back in the pockets of state of Florida taxpayers by moving the playoffs to Orlando for the NBA and Bradenton for the WNBA. And he also decided to minimize the effect on the salary cap by amortizing the salary loss over two seasons, which means the five-game stranglehold on Christmas Day will continue. The same convoluted logic that allowed the Emmys to give Governor Andrew Cuomo an award.
All right, Greg, thank you, sort of. That's not exactly the point of this segment, but if that's what you're grateful for, so be it. 10 minutes after the hour, Virginia is standing by. The lines are ringing, 850-205-9352. It's What's the Blessing on the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Have to love him, just like him on Facebook at Preston Scott Show.
It's our annual foray into blessing. What are you grateful for? What are you personally grateful for? What has touched your life in the last 11 months? It's What's the Blessing on the Morning Show with Preston Scott. We have one line open at 850-205-9352. Let's circle back to the phone lines. Virginia's standing by. Hello, Virginia. Thanks for calling in. What are you grateful for?
Morning. I'm grateful for my husband had to have open heart surgery unexpected. He survived, thank for God. Also that I was on intubator for 72 hours. I had 18 blood transfusions and 7 surgeries, and I'm perfectly fine, except I do have some complications, and I thank God for that. And the fact that we survived our son's death, who was a Marine, and I'm just so thankful for God.
Virginia, I'm so sorry for your loss and for your challenges, but man, I appreciate your heart attitude. Thanks so much for calling in this morning.
All right, God bless.
Thank you very much. You have a blessed Thanksgiving. And, look, she's not alone. There are people that have lost loved ones this year. And all I can tell you in the midst of all of that is God reminds us to grieve differently. You grieve with hope. You don't grieve as those who have no hope. You grieve as those with hope. And so our prayers and thoughts are with you. Let's go to James. Hey, James, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Preston, how you doing?
I'm good. What are you grateful for?
You know, I'm grateful to be alive. I'm a 65-year-old disabled veteran. I'm grateful that my spouse and my friends still alive. They're having major health issues. You know, we're all getting older. But let me tell you what I'm grateful for most of all. I pray this every day, so let me share this with you. Lord, I thank you for this day, week, month you're living, the food to eat, the place to sleep, the clothes I had to wear, for you love my family, my income. God, help lead and protect us in everything we do. Your will and never ours be done. God bless y'all here.
Thank you, James. Appreciate the phone call. You know, one of the things that we've been talking about a little bit lately is the concept of what if the only things you had today were the things you were thankful for yesterday and you gave thanks for? That crystallized thought really has kind of changed my prayer world a little bit. Just saying. Let's go to Richard. Richard, thanks for calling in. What's the blessing?
Well, my blessing is that today is my 72nd birthday.
And happy birthday.
I am B-Bar. I am blessed beyond all recognition. We're kind of cleaning up the house. We're going through some old photo albums. And, you know, the thing, when you get old, you kind of like lose, you know, your mentally, you know, stuff. But to look at the pictures and to see the, you know, the family and the outings and the love, man, it is just fabulous. And, you know, it's not over yet. You know, my son's, fiance, and it's just getting better and better. And I just wish you and everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Wonderful. Thanks very much. Well said. Well said, my friend. Let's go to Judy. Judy, thanks for calling in. What's the blessing?
I just want to thank the Lord for everything that he's done this year, including my children and my grandchildren. And I'm just so thankful for that God knows everything that's happening and that he is in control of it. And I just love him.
Thanks very much. I appreciate the phone call, Judy. We've got Robin and Roger standing by when we come back. And then a couple thoughts I want to share. I got a note here I promised somebody I was going to read. And so what's the blessing? We'll continue next. 16 minutes after the hour on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
FLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Dude, yes!
And iHeart's radio station.
Final segment here on What's the Blessing as we prepare for the Thanksgiving weekend. Here on The Morning Show with Preston Scott and waiting very patiently has been Robin. Robin, thanks for calling in.
Hi, Preston. Thank you. And I just want to thank you for standing up for all of us against the mainstream media. Plus, I've had a miracle yesterday. After a year of chemo and radiation and going to the healing place, on my six-month checkup, my CT scan, they found a spot on my lung, and the doctor, oncologist, had told me if it was going to reappear, that's where it was going to happen, in my lung. And so after a PET scan and a biopsy, yesterday morning at 8:30, I was told I was cancer-free.
Woo! Look at
and
you!
It was not cancer.
There you go.
And it was such a blessing. And all my friends and family that have been praying for me, I just thank them and I thank you.
Well done.
That's my thing.
Boy, what a great praise report that is. Yeah. And you've got much to be thankful for. Robin, thanks so much for sharing that with everybody.
Yep.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. One more caller here before we get to an email that I received. Roger, thanks for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome. Good morning, Preston. Well, I want to say shout out to my employer. And if you have a great job, it's a blessing. There's a lot of people around me dying from this stuff, and I have not been sick. My family hasn't been sick. I'm blessed beyond belief. Kept a roof over my head, never missed a meal. So I'm grateful for my generous employer. He gives us bonuses, and even though I've never had to slow down at my job, I've been working steady, and my wife has been working steady, and that's a blessing to us.
Wonderful thoughts, Roger. Thanks very much for sharing. I appreciate you calling in this morning on What's the Blessing.
That's a great story, especially after coming out of COVID.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
You know, perspective is everything.
Yeah.
It really is. Dallas, in a second here, I'll give you a minute if you want to share something. You know, for me, obviously, it starts with my family. And again, with the understanding that all of that flows out of my relationship with Christ. But my family, I've just got just an awesome family. And we are an example, my wife and I, of redemption and how God's merged family together, her family and my family, and how we've become one family in the midst of the challenge that you go through when you go through divorce. And it's just been, it's been really remarkable. It really has. And so I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful. And Dallas, you have anything you want to share here quickly?
Oh, man, I got a lot to be thankful for, especially right now. I mean, I'm first of all thankful that when I got to Tallahassee, I wasn't expecting to find talent, and I found you. So I'm thankful for that. I've had a great year, and thanks for inviting me in and letting me be part of the family here. This has been really fun. And I'm also really thankful for my friends and my family and the opportunities that have been afforded me, that I'm about to step into a brand new world,
yeah,
a brand new existence, a brand new career, and a whole new path that I've never walked before. So my anticipation of excitement and turmoil and all the fun that goes with that and fixing it, it's going to be fantastic. So I'm truly blessed.
I'm going to share this from our market president, Paul Rogers. He sent this to me and asked me to read it. My blessing is Dallas. When I hired Dallas Rogers, I knew he'd be funny and versatile and add to the show, and he had the greatest last name. But he ended up being much more than that to us. David Allen leaving left a big hole in the show and in all of our hearts, especially Preston's. Dallas, it immediately became obvious that Studio 1A was in such great hands that I know that Preston must have found it easier to just keep going with his show. I never worried one day that the morning show with Preston Scott was in great hands, and for that, we've been blessed. I'll miss your voice, your wife's Good Morning Dallas on our live feed, and your steady hand on the show. Thank you, Dallas, for all you did for us, and I hope we can work together again very soon. Paul Rogers.
That's wonderful. You know, it's fun to come to a new town and find people that you feel like you've known your entire life. And so, again, another blessing.
The one thing that Dallas left out is he said, you know, the last thing he expected to find is talent inside this building. He's still looking, but he's just being charitable when he says that. When we come back, Barry Jessen will join us. He's county director for Cambodia for Samaritan's Purse. He will call us from Cambodia. Operation Thanksgiving, mission accomplished. We'll tell you what's going to happen and when next on The Morning Show.
Show with Preston Scott.
Chewing gum online, eh? I hope you brought enough for everybody.
On WFLA.
35 minutes after the hour, The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Wednesday, November 25th. Show number 4,369. Dallas Rogers over there in Studio 1A, along with a producer to be named later. I'm here in Studio 1B, and we are joined on the phone line by Barry Jessen. He's County Director, Samaritan's Purse in Cambodia. Barry, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Good, thanks, Preston. How are you, mate?
I couldn't be better if I tried, Barry. I am so excited. You know, we were literally flipping through the Christmas catalog on the show, talking through it, and I got to this well project thing, and Dallas, yeah, and I looked at each other, and we just was like, we can do this. And our listeners stepped in, and the project was picked for us to give to in Northwest Cambodia. Tell our listeners a little bit more about that project.
Well, mate, the project here is securing reliable, clean, safe water for villages who just don't have that. And so that stops them from doing things like being healthy, continuous education, being reliable at work. It stops them from having year-round livelihoods or vegetable gardens. And so that's what we're on. And so by doing that, you put in the well, you get reliable water, everything else changes.
This particular village, what can you tell us about it?
Well, the well that you guys have fundraised for is Susteray Village. It is in the province of Battambang in Mong Rasai. It's about 400 kilometers west of Phnom Penh, and it's dry. It's super dry. They only have water there for about 3 months of a year. So we've been hunting groundwater, and many have tried and failed. But I can tell you that we're trying and it's working.
So give us a timeline. Now that funds have been secured for this project, how does it work in country?
Well, the timing is perfect for us, Preston, because we're at the stage where we're doing like multiple villages, and so we've got contractors in the field. So the contractor will be given the green light to go ahead and drill a well. That will take him hopefully between 7 and 10 days. The deep well's about 120 to 140 meters. That gives you a guarantee of year-long water. Once we've got secured enough water for the village, then we start tank stand construction to make sure, because we build water systems. We're not talking about villagers having to walk and get water from a well. The water is going to be piped to their house. So we do tank stand construction, then mains, and then from the main line to their houses. So from drilling to water in a lovely old lady's house, things going well could be 6 to 7 weeks.
So there's a possibility that by the end of the year, this could be close to finishing.
If things go well, end of the year, January, yeah. Like, we're getting to Christmas. Things do slow down a little.
Sure.
At this time of year, to be honest. It's been a big year, so we're all going to take a couple of weeks off for Christmas.
I didn't know about the plumbing. So you're actually running lines to people's houses from the well?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. When we started the project, we thought, you know, like it's time to stop this whole walk into the well routine. Because if I had to walk to the well like half a kilometer every day, I wouldn't water my vegetable garden. That's too much work. And so we really respect these people's dignity, and we long for their future. We want to show them real love. And so, yeah, it's great. We see for the first time 60-year-old women turn on the tap, and water comes out. Man, I just wish you could be here to see that. It's magnificent.
Video.
Barry Jessen is with us. He's country director for Cambodia for Samaritan's Purse, our partner in this project. They were the inspiration. We just simply did our best to raise some money. Barry, stand by with us a few more minutes. We want to talk some more about this project. I also want to broaden it a little bit. If you've never looked at the Samaritan's Purse Christmas catalog, it is unlike anything you will ever see, and there are so many opportunities, no matter where you are financially, to find something to give to, and we've been talking about it. This year has been a challenge with the pandemic, but one of the best antidotes to all of it is to look outward, is to get your eyes off yourself and your circumstances, to look out. Go to SamaritansPurse.org to learn more. More with Barry Jessen next.
You're there quickly and safely. Traffic and weather on the 10s. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
A few more minutes with Barry Jessen. He joins us from Cambodia, which means it is nearing 8:45 in the evening in Cambodia.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
The end of the day.
So this is the summertime there, right?
Actually, we're coming into our cool season here.
You're in the northern hemisphere.
Yeah, it could get below 80 degrees here. It'll be just freezing.
You got a great sense of humor. I think you and I would get along very, very well, Barry. Tell me this village, do you know anything about the history of it? How long has this village existed in Cambodia?
Oh, well, like That's pretty easy because all villages were pretty much emptied out during the period of the Khmer Rouge, and people had to live in forced labor camps. And so then after, when the Khmer Rouge was gotten rid of, beaten, defeated, people were then returned to the area of Battambang. So that's, you know, like maybe some 40 years ago. And so it's not an old village, even though, like, traditionally there will have been a village there since the dawn of time.
Sure.
But it's, you know, like, a lot of new people, because people were all mixed up through the Khmer Rouge, and you just had to go back where you were told.
When this project starts, what we're hoping, and I obviously you hope for the best and accept whatever comes your way, but Barry, we're hoping, we'd love to talk with somebody, if it's possible, in that village. I don't know if you guys have sat phones. We'd love to be part of how this all unfolds in this process and get any video of it to share with those that supported. Because what we've really tried to tie into is this idea of we will never see these people face to face, but we can make a difference and try to change their lives. And that's what made this so important, I think, to so many people.
Yeah, we can. I mean, one of the great things about Cambodia is we may not have electricity or running water, but we do have 3G pretty much everywhere.
Priorities, man. Priorities.
Absolutely. We can live stream you in. We got nowhere to live, but we got good internet.
What got you into Samaritan's Purse? How'd you tie into this?
I had been working in Thailand with another organization doing rescues from sex trafficking. And we took a break from that for a year, and we're just considering what we're going to do. And one of my friends sent me a job ad for Samaritan's Purse. And, you know, like, it just super appealed to me because it's doing really worthwhile work, but it focuses not just only on today, but it focuses on the value of people and where they're going to spend eternity. So, yeah, I jumped at that. Yeah, absolutely.
In how long do you, is this like home for you now permanently, or is this a thing where you'll rotate to another country, or how does that work?
No, we're pretty much here. We've been in Cambodia now for 7 years. Got my wife and three of my four boys are still here. And, yeah, we're here for the long haul because Cambodia seems to be like where we're called to.
Barry, thanks so much for what you're doing and for serving in Cambodia. Your family, our very best to you as we prepare to celebrate Thanksgiving here stateside. So grateful for the work that you're doing. And always know you have a place on this show anytime you want to tell us what's going on over there.
Fantastic. We'll make it happen. We would love to keep you guys in the loop.
Barry, thanks very much. God bless you.
God bless you, man.
Thank you. Barry Jessen, country director for Samaritan's Purse in Cambodia. So you've heard the timeline. My guess will be middle of January. They will have not just a water well drilled, but they will have plumbing.
Indoor plumbing.
To their homes.
Wow. That is a game changer.
Folks, you should be very proud of what you've done in a humble kind of way, because we've been blessed to be able to give.
I can't think of a better thing for me to walk out on.
46 minutes after the hour, and he means it. He's literally like walking out right now. It's to you, Preston. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Total was $11,565. That's what was raised for the well. The well was $10,000. They have some extra money to use towards some of those expenses of bringing the plumbing to the homes. I'm blown away by the kindness and generosity that you all displayed through this project. Other projects brought in money. So just about $12,000 was raised for Samaritan's Purse through this, but $11,565 dedicated to the Cambodia project. And so we superseded. We raised 100 and roughly, what, 10%, 15% of our goals. So thank you. That's all. Just thank you so very much for trusting our recommendation to work with Samaritan's Purse. And again, I don't ask you to do anything I don't do. And so I'm so grateful that we're part of this. And boy, Barry Jessen, is that guy like belong on the radio?
Yeah. Wow.
We don't have much water and we don't have much electricity, but we got 3G all over the country. Dude.
The other thing about it is he made a real good point. If you got to lug 2 gallons of water half a mile from, you got to go walk half a mile to get to it, then fill a bucket or two up and then haul 2 or 3 gallons of water at a time back that half mile, that becomes a problem. And let's put it in perspective. How often do you go and get fresh green beans or lettuce or fresh vegetables every day to cook with? Because that's what, and now imagine having to walk to Publix, get your green vegetables, and then walk back carrying them.
Right.
Now imagine you have to do that every single day, multiple times a day, just so you can wash, drink, cook, and live your daily
life.
Use
a toilet facility of some kind.
And so now we've given them a well, and then they're putting in plumbing. That's amazing.
Yeah, they're going to have gardens that they can tend easily in a dry climate.
So good.
Yeah, really good stuff. Final moments on the morning show with Preston Scott for Dallas Rogers.
Yeah. Well, I'm not far. I'm 5 minutes from here, so, you know, I'm sure I'll pop up from time to time.
Come on, man. Milk it.
I'm going so far away.
Well, we don't need a Carol King song here. Okay. You know, something like, well, I'll miss the audience, Preston, and, you know, I'm literally right here. It's like that scene from Anchorman. We've literally been here the whole time, Ron. You know? it's been a delight working with you. It's been a lot of fun.
And I've enjoyed meeting, you know, a lot of the audience that are regulars and everything. I mean, some of them are now friends with me on Facebook and we talk. And so, I mean, it's been really interesting. And I meant that sincerely. Thanks for welcoming into this, because this is a family.
Yeah.
It's a little group of people that in the morning that are always together. And then
don't say
a,
the word little.
Well, I say, but then there's a broad group that joins and pays attention to what we do. And that's awesome.
Don't say broad.
Blessed. Broad.
You can't say that anymore.
Why can't I say broad?
You can't say the word broad.
But I just did. I
you
said broad.
You can't say the. That's what I'm. That's my point.
Broad.
You can't.
Broad.
You stop.
Broad.
We'll be back Tuesday with a producer to be named later, and he will be named on Tuesday when broad. We return after the break.
Broad.
You can't say that anymore. We live in the times. You cannot refer to women that way. You can't say that.
Well, that's
don't
kind of
you
a,
know?
That's
political,
kind of a,
it's
that's
political
a very,
correctness.
That's a very broad statement you've just
exactly.
made.
And you keep doing it. You're like rubbing salt in the wound.
I'm being very broad with my definition.
Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll be back on Tuesday. Glenn Beck's up next. Have a great day. Thanks so much for listening, and happy Thanksgiving.